It'll be Romans 4, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the very word of God. Romans 4, 1 through 12. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that the righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Amen. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our just and merciful Father, we thank you so much once again for the great privilege of hearing your word read and of having it so readily available to us. We thank you for speaking to us in your word. Speak now to us in your word, Father, and through the preaching of your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the background of this passage, especially in the previous chapter, Paul has been arguing for justification by faith alone. Now, in justification, God says, you are righteous. You have kept the law. That's what justification is. And then you get to go to heaven. So justification refers to God's judgment upon us, one way or the other. And Paul is arguing that justification is by faith alone. But then why is he arguing for this? Well, it's to rule out any cause for boasting. So that's an important part of the background here. He's arguing for justification by faith alone. Therefore, there's no reason to boast. After all, if we don't do anything to get to heaven, what makes me any better than you? Specifically, in this context, Paul is arguing that the Jews aren't any better than the Gentiles in the church. In other words, there are no second-class Christians. In our text, Paul turns primarily to the case of Abraham, and he's primarily addressing the Jews, as he says in verse 1, our forefather according to the flesh. That's how we know he's speaking specifically to the Jews in Rome, or at least primarily. Now, many Jews at this time had thought that Abraham actually had been justified by works. So in the midst of this argument for justification by faith alone, it's necessary for Paul to talk about the case of Abraham. Some of the Jewish writings of the time say things like he was sinless, had no need to repent, things of this nature. So their objection to Paul's argument that may have arisen in their minds, his argument for justification by faith alone, once again, an objection might have been, well, what about Abraham? We know he was justified by works. What do you have to say about that? So since this was such a common belief, Paul felt it necessary to address it here. And it's very helpful for us in any case. At any rate, the main point of this text this evening is that the case of Abraham proves that justification is, in fact, by faith alone. And so we'll have two main points in our sermon this evening. First is counted righteousness. And second is uncircumcised faith. Counted righteousness and uncircumcised faith. So let's begin by looking at counted righteousness. And in this portion of our sermon, we want to ask this key question. How was Abraham justified? Was it by works or was it by faith? So in this section, that's going to be our focus. Now look with me again at verse 2. It says, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." Again, there's this tight connection for Paul between boasting and justification by works. If it's by works, then there's a reason to boast. This is why Paul is arguing for faith alone, so that everybody understands there is no reason to boast. At any rate, this is the question Paul is focused on, whether or not Abraham was justified by works, as it says, if he was justified by works. And as already said, it was the common perception that Abraham was indeed justified by works. So this is what Paul is focusing on and addressing. So he begins his argument with actually looking at Scripture, and he quotes from Genesis 15, verse 6, and it says, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Now, it turns out that the Jews of Paul's day had actually managed to convince themselves that this meant that Abraham was, in fact, justified by works. The way it would work is something like this. They would say, "Abraham was a great man of faith. He was very pious indeed. And so God called him righteous. He was sinless and had no need to repent." In other words, what they did was they turned faith into a work that earned God's favor. Thus, Paul's very concerned to distinguish these very carefully, to distinguish faith and works. Faith is not works. Faith and works are two different things. In the one, you're believing something. In the other, you're doing something. These are very clearly two different things. And this is what Paul wants to focus on in the next several verses. So first, he examines works themselves in verse 4, which says, look at this with me, verse 4. "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due." Here's how works operate. You do the work, you get paid. Your employer owes you for the work that you do. He's obligated to give you money. But now let's focus on this phrase, counted as a gift. The Greek behind this phrase that this is translating would be more literally translated as counted according to grace. Counted according to grace. Now this word counted is important in this discussion because it's the same word that was used in the previous verse when Paul was quoting from Genesis. And here, it means that one thing is counted as if it were something else, even though it's not. One thing is being counted as if it's something else. So for Abraham, faith is counted as if it were righteousness. And God did this for Abraham according to grace, of course. And the point is this. When it comes to works, there's no counting going on. There's no counting of this type going on. Nothing's being counted for something other than it is. It's simply a matter of works and obligation. A matter of debt, even, you could say. And debt is the opposite of grace. It's precisely the opposite of grace. The works earning the pay. It's the opposite of counting one thing for another. Well, after looking at how works operate in verse 4, he goes on then in verse 5 to expand on how grace operates. Look with me at verse 5. It says, "And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Now, in these two verses, verses 4 and 5, Paul is comparing two theoretical people, two hypothetical people who don't actually exist. So he's not saying that Christians don't have to have any good works when he says that one works and one doesn't. That's not what he means. This discussion is very limited. He's very specific in his focus. He's focusing on justification. And he's saying that the one person is essentially a law keeper. He's kept the law. He's done the work. The other one is a law breaker. He hasn't kept the law. He hasn't done any work. That's what he means when he talks about somebody who does not work. So the point is this. He's simplifying things into black and white to show these in stark relief, to help make it clear for us and to help us understand intuitively what he's trying to get at. So the point is that faith is counted as if it were righteousness apart from any works. Faith alone is counted as righteousness. Why? How? Well, this is what he had just been explaining in the previous chapter, in chapter 3. It's because of our faith is in Jesus Christ. The power of faith, you see, is not in the faith itself. The power of faith is in the object of faith, what you have faith in. And our faith is in Jesus Christ, the one who kept the law perfectly for us on our behalf and paid the full price for our sins on the cross. Our faith lays hold of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we have faith in him, God counts us righteous. So when you think of the word justified, when you think of being justified, think just as if I'd kept the law perfectly my whole life. That's what faith does. That's what faith in Christ does, according to the grace of God. This, friends, is the very heart of the gospel. At the judgment seat of God, we are counted righteous by faith alone. So finally, moving on in Paul's argument, he points to David as saying the same thing, and he quotes from Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, and this is what he says. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Now, in the previous chapter, in chapter 3, Paul had established through many Old Testament quotations, he had established that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So to have your faith counted as righteousness necessarily means that your sins are forgiven. Your sins are taken out of the equation altogether at the judgment seat of God. And we know that there must be sin there. So this is a promised blessing, a blessing that's promised to us, pronounced upon us in Scripture, in those very words that Paul just quoted. And this was a blessing that was obtained for us once again by Jesus Christ. But the point here is this. This blessing was granted to Abraham. How do we know? Because his faith was counted as if it were righteousness. His sins, which by the way, Scripture testifies to in many places. If you want to know about Abraham's sins, they're not a secret. They're right there in Genesis. But his sins were taken out of the equation. His sins weren't counted. What was counted was his faith, and it was counted as righteousness. So this very blessing, the very blessing that David speaks of in the Psalm, this very blessing was pronounced upon Abraham in Genesis 15:6, just in slightly different language. So then, Paul has made his case, establishing the true interpretation of Genesis 15:6. Abraham was not justified by works. In fact, Abraham was justified by faith alone, apart from works, despite his sin. So we turn now then to our second point, uncircumcised faith. Now, the question that we want to focus on in this part of the sermon is this. When was Abraham justified? Was it before or after he was circumcised? In our previous point, we looked at how Abraham was justified. Was it by faith or works? Now we want to know when. So, again, the blessing David speaks of was applied to Abraham in Genesis 15:6. So now Paul asks his readers, who does David's blessing apply to? Is it only for the circumcised Jews, or is it also for the uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, the Jews at that time would have, of course, intuitively responded, no, it's for the Jews. That's why it's in the Old Testament. That's why it's written in Hebrew, pronounced by the king of Israel, David. Of course, it's for the Jews. Paul says, okay, but when was it granted to Abraham? When was this blessing applied to him? Well, Paul has just established that this blessing was granted to Abraham in Genesis 15:6. This is why at the end of verse 9, he refers to this, saying, we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. So then he goes on in verse 10 to paraphrase it. Was Abraham circumcised yet in Genesis 15? Answer, no. He wasn't circumcised until Genesis 17, which in all likelihood was probably about 30 years later. This means that the faith of Abraham that was counted as righteousness was the faith of an uncircumcised man. Thus, David's blessing must not be limited to those who are circumcised. Justification is not by having faith and circumcision. Justification is by faith alone. Not faith and anything else. Faith alone. Further proof is offered by Paul here in verses 11 and 12 from the very meaning of circumcision itself. For when circumcision was given to Abraham, he says it was a sign and seal of the righteousness that he had already obtained. It was not a way for him to obtain righteousness. It was a sign and seal of righteousness that he already had. Let me give you an illustration. Think of a contract. Genesis 15:6 is kind of like God's contract with Abraham. Abraham had faith, and God counted that faith as righteousness. That's the agreement. That's the contract. Well, circumcision is sort of like God's signature at the bottom of that contract. It's a sign. It's a visual representation. And it's a seal. Now, what does this mean, it's a seal? Think of this. In ancient times, they would melt some wax on a document, an official document, and then place a seal on it. Think of it kind of like a cookie cutter. It would make a mark in the wax that would then harden and dry. And this mark would be unique. This was proof, almost like a fingerprint. This was proof that the document was legitimate and official. This is what this word seal refers to. Circumcision is a sign, a visual sign, and it's a seal. It's God's signature on that contract that his faith was counted as righteousness. So this is how Paul says we should think of circumcision. So it turns out that the Jews of Paul's day had it completely backwards. They thought circumcision was something that they had done to obtain God's favor. They thought that this meant that they had a reason to boast against the Gentiles, but they had it backwards. It was a sign that God's favor had already been granted by grace. And Paul affirms that no circumcised Jews, there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Whether circumcised or uncircumcised, all are equal in the sight of God. That's why he goes on to say that Abraham is the father of all who believe. This is why the promise was given to him when he was still uncircumcised, so that it would be clear that the gospel is not limited to the people of Israel. but is supposed to be spread throughout the entire world. This gospel is for us, not just those who are circumcised, not just the Jews. Anyone who believes, as Abraham did, inherits the same blessing that David spoke of in Psalm 32 and pronounced upon Abraham in Genesis 15. Justification is by faith alone, not anything else. Faith alone. This is the very heart of the gospel. This very doctrine is why we're Protestants. Let us then respond to this great truth with humility toward one another and gratitude toward our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.